Thanks for listening to On Microsoft, conversations and tips from expert IT pros and developers. For more information, visit informit.com/podcasts and subscribe today.
Hi, I'm Matt Torgerson from Microsoft. I work in the C# team. I'm back with Dinesh Kulkarni and Charlie Calvert, the authors of the Addison Wesley book, Essential Link, on the Microsoft.NET development series. And on a previous cast, I talked with Dinesh and Charlie quite a bit about the book itself and the goals it has. And in this cast, we're going to talk more about the link technology itself, both its shape today and its possibilities in the future. So you have a section early in the book that's called The Essence of Link, which sounds very philosophical to me. Can one of you dive into a little more? What is actually the essence of link?
The essence of link is a chapter where we try to step back and give people an overview of what the link technology is. And we divide it up into seven different perspectives on link. And you can take those seven different main ideas, main themes that run through link technology and divide them up into two sections. Really, the first three or four points have to do with why link is so interesting. You know, what is it that it brings to you? It's almost an advertisement for the power of link, but at the same time, it describes what link does. Then the second chunk of those, the last three or four items in that list, help to show what key technologies are. And if you grasp those three or four key technologies, you'll have a good idea of what link does for you. We've already covered in the first part of this talk the fact that link is integrated, that it's part of the C# language, that it's unitive. You can use a single query language to query XML, to query SQL data, to query objects. We've talked about the fact that it's extensible. But what we didn't talk as much about is the fact that link is hierarchical, composable, and transformative. And the fact that when you query data with SQL, you come back with rows of data in a grid, and so that you query two tables and you come back with a join of those two tables. When you're working with link, you can come back and get a hierarchical rather than just a flat table view of the data, where you can, say, have a set of customers and then hierarchically embedded in that set of customers, show me each of the orders associated with those customers, so that you're getting a much more hierarchical view of the data. And then you might be able to drill in further to another layer in the hierarchy that shows each individual product that's in each order. Another concept that's sort of new to link that's very powerful is the fact that link is composable.
Hang on a second. So this hierarchical stuff, that sounds like almost like data in an object-oriented program. Are you telling me that we're going to view data like objects in Link?
Yes, indeed. In fact, the whole goal of building Link was to make sure that there wasn't any impedance mismatch when you use your objects in the language as you're used to using them. It wasn't about grafting the concepts of SQL onto C#. That, in fact, initially we looked at it as that exercise, and that didn't really do very well. It didn't really seem very natural. So the goal here is to be able to get hierarchical data if that's what you're working with. Even if the backend itself is something like a SQL database, which only understands flat tables. And that is kind of the magic of Link, which is to make sure that you have the ability to query without really taking away from you what is good about objects, like hierarchies, for example.
Or conversely, taking away what's good about SQL data. If you want to have a table view, you can have that. So take your choice. Do you want a table view? Do you want a hierarchical view? Use what's best for you in the circumstances.
But you can choose to have your flat backend data presented to you and manipulated as if it was structured data in an object-oriented fashion.
That's exactly right. Yes. Very powerful.
Okay. So next thing you mentioned is composability. Was that right?
Yes, and the basic idea is that if you write a single query against some data, then sometimes you want to reformat that query and ask a second question. So you might ask one query which filters data in a certain way, then you might want to perform manipulations or ask a second query about that same data. And the beauty of Link is that you can compose these queries. So instead of having to write one long embedded query where you've got one query embedded inside of another, which ends up with a very complicated structure, you can write one query which says, you know, let's filter out, say, all the orders that were from the city of Paris. So now we wrote one simple query that gave you that answer. Then you can ask another query upon the results of the previous query, which, you know, say ask about total up all the orders which contained a particular product and show which ones where we spent the most money on, you know, so you can write a second query. The beauty of this composability here is that the queries, and this is something that's difficult for new people who are new to Link to understand, the queries don't execute right at the same time they're composed. Instead, the query itself is transformed into another language that is the machine type of language that's easy for the machine to understand, so that when that second query comes, it takes the results of the first query and adds in your new questions to it, and then only executes the query when you're ready. So you don't end up writing three queries, hitting the database three times. Instead, you ask three different questions. Link figures out the best way to combine all those three questions into a single query and sends it across and gets the results. Dinesh, why don't you play with that some too? Because I think you have a perspective on it that I can't quite offer people.
Sure. So I think as Charlie rightly mentioned, this notion of composability and making sure that it's sort of cost-free has been very central to the development of Link right from the beginning. What we wanted to make sure was that you could build Link implementations, for example, something like Link to SQL or Link to Entities or some other ones like Link to SharePoint. That might actually take some time, and there might be some associated costs for executing a query. And at the same time, we want developers to be able to write these declarative programs like we talked about in the last podcast. So how do you get these two things together? And that's kind of one key part of Link, which is you can form these expressions and you can compose on them almost cost-free until such point when you're ready to consume the results of that query. And at that point, you pay the price of actually executing the query. You don't pay any price until you're ready to execute. And these are the kinds of little things that we've really tried to highlight in our book, which is how do you not only write the basic code to query a database or to query your list or hash table or what have you, but at the same time, how do you really understand what is going on under the covers? Why is it designed in a certain way? And once you develop that appreciation, then you can write much more effective code.
To sum up, what Link does is it gives you this ability to break out a complex problem into three or four constituent parts so that you're able to simplify the questions into three or four different sections without forcing you to pay a price for it. In other words, you can break your code up into three different discrete, easily definable logical sections and then ask, now go run that query. Now that I've broken the three sections out into three distinct parts, you can say, now go run the query, so you don't have a high overhead for this capability.
Cool. So you said there were three of these principles. What's the third one?
The third one is that Link is transformative, so that you can write a query against SQL data and get XML data back as a result, or you could write a query against XML data and transform it into SQL data or transform it into an array of data. This ability to transform the results of one query into a different format, which, and then you can combine that with composability to then ask another question where you might take, you've transformed some SQL data into an array, then you can combine it with another array that you have and ask a second question. It's very, very powerful, this ability to transform the results from one format to another.
So hopefully people out there who haven't already tried Link are accelerating by now. So for the people who are already using Link and are thinking, what's next? Do you have? Can you offer us a little insight into coming versions of the .NET framework and what it offers in terms of Link?
Sure, that's an excellent question, because Link in .NET Framework 3.5 and Visual Studio 2008 was just the beginning, and there's a lot more oomph left in it, and there's a lot of new and exciting development that's happening there. To take just a few, there's Parallel Link that's briefly overviewed. Charlie's written a little bit about it in our Essential Link book. But Parallel Link has really grown since we wrote about it. It's making Link available on many core processors, the ones that are becoming more and more common these days. It's also providing a way for you to write queries in a parallelizable fashion. So that's very exciting. Another front where we've seen a lot of development is how you use Link in N-tier or 3-tier applications. Very often you want the user to participate in formulating a query, and at the same time you want to get the benefit of executing the query most efficiently at the database tier or your data store layer. And this is the kind of problem that we started on with the first release of Link, but that has been taken much further by the Astoria project, which is commonly known as ADO.NET Data Services, which lets you specify a query on the client end, serializes it as part of the URL, and then executes it on the mid-tier or on the database tier. At the same time, there is another exciting project that I'm working on, so I'm very biased towards that, which is .NET RIA services. We are in the preview mode, but we are essentially making it much easier to build rich internet applications, again, using the power of Link with Silverlight. So when you're writing your Silverlight client tier, you can actually expose the Link capability, or you can utilize that through your UI and have the query turned into some serializable or string form and sent to the mid-tier for execution there or further on down to the database tier. And these are the kinds of things that are happening in the field of Link. And so it's very much alive and it's very much growing. At the same time, Matt, you've been driving additional features in the .NET framework itself for Link, additional operators and so on. So it's really a very exciting field.
So we're continuing from Microsoft to add new Link technologies to further extend the experience. You also mentioned that Link is at its core extensible, which we're making use of ourselves, of course. But does that mean that there is also an ecosystem out there where people are extending Link all by themselves?
Very much so. Not a week goes by without getting an email from somebody who's trying to build an implementation of Link against their own custom data store of some sort. There is Link to Amazon, there is Link to SharePoint. These are kind of the well-known ones. But in every niche and in every nook and cranny, there is additional effort that's been done by the community, not really by Microsoft itself, to enable their data source to understand Link. So Link is sort of becoming a universal language for writing queries. And what we did with, say, Link to SQL or Entity Framework was just the beginning. It sort of showed, it paved the path, it showed the way that you can use Link not just for querying in-memory things in XML, but you can send the queries, translate them to some other query language. And people have taken that to heart, and they're building newer and newer implementations. Somebody the other day wanted to build Link to Active Directory, somebody external to Microsoft. So there are lots of these little projects that are springing up everywhere.
And we do cover a couple of them in the book. We have a section on Link to Flickr and a section on Link to SharePoint to give you an idea of some of the technologies. And it's amazing. Some of these things are very beautifully done, and they're people have really seen how to use the Link technology to make queries against these kind of data sources simple and intuitive.
It's funny because I remember from the early days when I joined the Link team that we were talking about, we better make it extensible because, you know, there might be up to 10 other things that you could use it for. It has wildly not just met our expectations, but completely surprised us the amount of interest has been in actually using Link for other things. I think we have hundreds and hundreds of things out there, projects that people have been doing either on a hobby basis or for commercial purposes. So with these words, I want to say thanks to you for participating. Do you have any last comments on Link that you want to add before we close this cast?
I just wanted to add that it's been a wonderful journey, and through the book, we've tried to share the journey in addition to the technology itself, and hopefully you'll enjoy and appreciate that.
I do. I've already read the book, and it's like being there again. Charlie, any last words?
Oh, I just would take the chance again to thank Dinesh for working on this book with me. We really had a great time. One of the great joys of this book was working with Dinesh, and we would have lunch together once a week and sit over and fret and pull our hair out and say, how are we going to finish this thing? But we always had a good time working on it and pulling the technology together. And I want to thank Mads and all the other folks on the team, you know, who answered my questions endlessly as I came there and said, I'm stuck hopelessly, or is this the right way to say it, or how do I do this? And they always had the answers. And Mads and Dinesh always, you know, provided lots of help and made the book a joy to work on. So it was awesome.
And Charlie, the feelings are very mutual because I knew nothing about writing books. This was my first book, and Charlie had the experience of writing 10 other books before and very successful ones. So it was a learning experience for me as well as to what an author needs to do to communicate the ideas. So thank you, Charlie. And thank you, Mads.
I think the fact that you two can still talk with such passion about the subject after having been through the experience of writing a book together shows how much you actually enjoyed it. That is a very rare thing with the book writing, as I understand it. And I'm very happy to hear your enthusiasm for Link. It's very contagious, both on this podcast and in the book, and I really encourage people to go and pick up on that energy and that insight in the book as well. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to On Microsoft, conversations and tips from expert IT pros and developers. For more information, visit informit.com/podcasts and subscribe today.